I'm James with Innsbank. This is, do you want me to introduce you?
I'm or Kristen.
Kristen, okay.
With also with Innsbank.
Nice. And so this is Brainstorm. And today we've got
Brian Hadfield.
Yeah. Sure. I know. You didn't sound confident.
Brian Hadfield?
I thought we were pausing.
He said his last name is a question. Brian Hadfield?
I'm Ron Burgundy.
I know. You're the first guest on the new couch.
Really? Who was the first guest? Do they have an Ensby?
No.
Brian, have you ever seen Yellowstone? So you see the there's the one where he goes out herding the cattle with his grandson and out there. Uh-huh. And so his grandson sleeps in late, and they're sitting there like trying to figure out what to do. You know, these guys are coming in raiding our cattle or whatever. And so his grandson wakes up and he comes in and is like, hey, they were going to go trout fishing. He goes, I didn't miss the fish, did I? And he goes, son, trout are like bankers. They don't do shit before 10 a.m.
I'm offended.
I don't remember that.
Who are you and why are you here?
I'm Brian Hadfield. Oh, wait. Where do I look, by the way? Anywhere? I'm Brian Hadfield. I have a supply chain company called FSI, and we do distribution and fulfillment and specialty supply chain services for companies that have a lot of locations around the United States, Canada, Mexico.
So when did you join the company? Because how old is the company, and then when did you join?
So the company was formed in 1990. I joined in 2009.
Okay. Nice. And so where were you before that? Because you were doing technology stuff, right? Like before you got into...
I was doing technology stuff, but while I was in school. So I was at UT in Knoxville and I was involved in a couple startups along the way. We'll just say we're less than successful. Mm-hmm. And
so you failed upwards.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
Go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to know more about that.
Well, because we talked before and you majored in a degree I didn't even know existed.
Supply chain.
Yeah, exactly. Which is what you're doing. You know, it's like one of the few people who actually is doing what they majored in. But like, because UT has a program, right, that is like degree, but with
special focus.
Yeah, it's a business degree focused on supply chain management.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Because we were talking about earlier, I was like, well, how did you, and you were like, well.
So
I.
Retell that story for those who didn't hear why you picked your major.
It was a very scientific process. They put out a list of what the highest paid majors were. And when I was a freshman, I looked at the list, went to the very top of the list, supply chain was number one, sold. That's the direction that I went. So
yeah.
Oh, good.
Well, I mean, you know, it's worked out well. I mean, failed upwards, right?
Yeah, what did you learn from the failures? Because I'm sure graduating college, you think you have the whole world is your oyster. You just had your degree. Everyone tells you you're going to do great things. And then what was that next
back when you
step?
Had hope.
Like, before everything.
When you had hopes and dreams. But try to go back that, you know.
So I think the biggest thing was that we didn't really have the resources to be successful. Mm-hmm. So, you know, bootstrapping is great. It's hard to make a go of that because it was all technology, software, things like that. And they just take a lot more than that to be successful.
It pretty much, you said it was a very like immersive program, surprisingly immersive. You were talking about like how it was like, I think harder than I think you thought it was going to be going into. You're thinking, so I get paid and major
with that
in something
rigorous decision
sounds like,
process.
Yeah, who doesn't know supply and demand, right? Yeah. There's a demand and you provide the
people
supply.
People need stuff. I got stuff.
Yeah, you need stuff. Fine. I got stuff. That's pretty simple, but you said it was pretty difficult, right? Like they had a very intense program.
So it was newish at the time when they started doing it, but UT combined the marketing side, demand, and the supply side into the same umbrella. So you had to study both. You had to go to both classes, or it was multiple classes, but you had to study both of them. And originally, like, you know, when you look at it, knowing absolutely nothing, it doesn't necessarily make sense. But then as you go through it, suddenly it becomes very clear. And I don't know that there's a better case study than the pandemic for what makes it so clear is suddenly demand went crazy and there was no supply. Well, so, I mean, I can only imagine they probably have a lot of good case studies rolling out of there right now.
I'm sure they do.
For that. But that was the, it was enlightening when you actually look at it together. And that's how we go after new customers are people that understand that, because for us, if they don't have any understanding of what their demand is or what they're going to use, it makes our world really, really difficult. Yeah. So we try and guide them towards paying attention to that and give them reports and data and information and best cases and anything else that we can to help them in that direction.
So are you going to be an associate professor at UT's supply chain major?
Not
just
anytime
one
soon.
Class a semester. first world experience, you know?
Probably not.
When it hits the fan, it'd be the title of your class, and then you...
Sounds less fun.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know?
I think the hardest thing for marketing, like for me to accept or get on board with on the marketing side, is it's hard to quantify ROI. It's hard to quantify exactly... what you're getting out of what you're doing, because there's not a lot of course, if sales go up overall, obviously marketing was a big contributor to that. But we spend $1 million over here and $1 million over here and $1 million here, all under the marketing umbrella. But which one gave us what we wanted? That to me is hard, because when you're talking about marketing and the scale that we help companies with, it's big dollars. So it makes it challenging to say, yes, let's run those programs again. So we try and help with the most thoughtful reporting and the most thoughtful data collection that you could do off of it's everything we deal in mostly is physical goods. And it's easier with some of those to track and kind of on measure results, but it makes it interesting sometimes to should we spend that money?
Intangible. Yeah.
Right.
Like,
and of course,
it's brand awareness.
Exactly.
But we don't.
How do you quantify brand awareness?
Yeah,
that's something that we are rooted in, is getting brand awareness out there in every product we ship. There's some element of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting trying to keep track of it and trying to give them the information, because it adds value. Like, there's no way that it doesn't add value, right. But it's hard to say how much. So
you're saying it's a lot of justifying your own existence in marketing, where you're just like, well, look, I did add value. And then, it's like, but how much, though, specifically?
And it's
give me the dollar amount.
That's what we try to do, is put as much on that as possible, because we do, we'll do data packages and we'll send out information to the customers that say, this is what your consumption was of whatever the item or bucket of items at each of these locations. And then they can overlay revenue data on top of it. So you can do best practices and see, like, because we obviously don't have the revenue data, but for everything that's in our umbrella, we know exactly what they used and when they used it.
That's nice of you.
And can give them all of that. And then they can do the analysis. And then I kindly ask they share it with us just to say that, yes, all that stuff you shipped out really helped.
See how this is helpful to you.
You were kind of instrumental or as part of you and the CEO at the time, of kind of revamping it. Was part of that the technology piece of getting it up to speed and kind of changing the way they were looking at kind of an old school logistics company to like the 100%. Modern side? And so, like, tell me how, like, you and your team kind of changed that dynamic to get it to be, because completely turned it around. And not that it wasn't doing great before, but like it turned it into a different company pretty much.
So the company had gotten into a bad spot. It just, things were not going well. And they brought in Jenna Lodge to be our CEO. And she came in with, fresh eyes on what we needed to do to get to the next level. And basically the key to all of that was reinvest in what we do. So, she chartered a course on reinvestment in the warehouse, the distribution operations, and more than anything, the software. We were running a software that was built on a QNX platform, which you've probably never even heard of.
I don't know what that means.
From 1990.
So, it sounds like an 80s video game, it, like Unix.
So like
green screen.
Could you play Snake nice. On it?
If
like,
you were, if you knew which one of the F keys, if you ever wondered what the F keys do,
it
runs Unix software apparently, because that was what we used them for.
Oh my gosh.
So she chartered this course of we need to get real software. Finding something out of the box wasn't an option. So we ended up heavily customizing Oracle.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in hindsight at the time, and it was a project
mm-hmm.
to get it working, and it took years to get it properly operating, but it was the best decision that we could have made. There's no way we would be able to do what we do now.
So with technology today, obviously it's constantly evolving. It's almost impossible to keep up. How do you all stay ahead in your industry to just continue those improvements? Are you looking for ways to do better, or what is your process for that?
So our customers are our greatest source of innovation, because they always have an idea, something that they want to do that we don't have the ability to do when they want to do it.
Sure. Yeah.
So that's where we get our inspiration. And if two customers want it, then you've got a real winner. But having a platform that lets you make those decisions.
Quick changes.
Yeah, that we mm-hmm. want to go into that space, or that having it is an option.
Mm-hmm.
So the nice thing about Oracle is that it's not cheap, but you mm-hmm. can do anything you want with it. So when you make a decision that you want it to do this, or you need this feature, or you want to add this capability, it's doable.
Yeah.
And that's given us just incredible flexibility. And we basically have a constant development flow every single month. And we move things around as it makes sense, but it's a commitment. So we basically make an annual commitment on what enhancements we want, and go down that road as the year, you know, as needs dictate. Things might move, but it's a year long path.
So it's largely based then on your customer feedback.
Absolutely.
What you decide to innovate and change.
Yeah. Existing customers are a real driver, because usually when we start with someone, they will they'll be enamored mm-hmm. with it as it sets. But then, you know, a year in, they're like, oh, we
would
love it even better.
Could you put this button here, and could you do that there?
Well, that actually brings me to a good point, and I think it's helpful to kind of understand more about kind of the core of your business. What type of clients do y'all work with, and how do y'all serve? Because to place all supply chain, but then you mentioned healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
That's obviously a different beast than a retail company or
absolutely.
You know, some company that's selling products online. I mean, how do y'all serve those different types of industries, and which ones are your biggest, not specific clients necessarily, but biggest industries that you serve?
So the way we describe the company is product independent.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't really matter to us what the specific product is. So it could be a supply item used in a healthcare facility on the medical side. It could be a supply item used in a retail store. But the common denominator is basically, for the most part, the products that we supply, ship out, manage are products that our customers don't sell, or are not a cost of good for them. It's an expense item.
Mm-hmm.
So on the healthcare side, we focus heavily on non-acute care.
Mm-hmm.
So surgery centers, dialysis centers, they use a tremendous number of SKUs.
What's a SKU?
Stock keeping unit.
Okay.
So it's an item. It's just, it's a unique item.
Looking at it, like, just y'all's company and along was like a supply management company, and obviously that's been like a huge news item mm-hmm. during the pandemic as supply chain issues.
Yeah,
like, how did y'all deal with that situation, and how has it affected your business either positively or negatively? Because I know that's like one of those things, like everyone's like, oh God, we have all these supply chain issues, and we're not getting stuff from China.
Right.
How did that impact y'all? Like positively or negatively?
So, I mean, overall, the pandemic drove need mm-hmm. for our service. So in the early days, when you couldn't get PPE and you couldn't get, you know, it was impacting everything, decisions that we made years ago, for example, we have a very specific importer relationship who has feet on the street in China. Mm-hmm. So when people that have never bought anything were flooding the market with orders and trying to do stuff, the folks that knew how to do business over there were getting the goods. So our customers were able to take advantage of that and get PPE when they couldn't get it elsewhere because of those relationships. So what was happening specifically with that, the number of people that truly buy it on a regular basis, non-pandemic, it's not a tremendous number of people. Mm-hmm. Then you've got thousands of newcomers coming in there, but the folks that would typically buy it were not willing to pay what the new demand dictated. So that's why there was such a shortfall
surge
in it.
Yeah.
And then people like us that, we never, it was not a space we were ever in before, but we had the ability to get it and our customers were very eager. So, we basically used our relationships to bring it in and do it when they couldn't get it anywhere else.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, that was a service that we did, spend a lot of time on there when it mattered. So I like to think that what we were doing was helping get these products that were much
hard
needed, and they were available.
This guy was doing PPE. We were doing PPP.
Yeah.
Shameless
plug. You were saving lives. We were saving companies.
But it was. There was so much fraud. I mean, there was fraud everywhere, and the
fraud
way
of people trying to get supplies to sell
every level.
Like to eBay gloves to people?
Yes. Well, people buying garbage and selling it as top notch. People taking money and not delivering the goods. I mean, every level of fraud you can think of.
Toilet paper?
Everything.
Well, I mean, there was like those. I mean, there was one locally where they were buying.
There was
bulk.
A guy that was buying soap and hoarding it in his garage.
And then he would sell it at like $100 for like a bottle of
hand sanitizer
on eBay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, a lot of those people got prosecuted for price gouging and stuff.
Well, but I guess I never thought about how that would relate to an industry like yours.
It was all kinds of those things that were just building and building and building and making the situation that much
worse. So much
worse. And the factories in China specifically, it wasn't just China, but I mean, they were, they have the manufacturing base. That's where so much of the product comes from. There was this huge influx of people that were coming over there, legitimately showing up. Our folks that we work with were talking about having to deal with people being at the factories with bags of money, just bags of cash.
Trying to take inventory.
Just saying, hey, we want inventory. Here's cash. And then get it back over here and sell it in.
And
in
then somebody like you suffers because then it's, we're out of stock because we went with this guy. And
exactly.
He paid you twice what we paid you.
Exactly. So once we, it took a couple months to really get the lay of the land and figure it out and for everybody to, figure
down.
Out how to get it done. And that's, ultimately we were able to get it done and we brought in a significant amount of PPE that went into surgery centers all over the country.
Wow.
What about other industries that y'all serve that it's not necessarily healthcare related,
right?
But I mean, because the supply chain thing impacted pretty much everything where it's like
everybody,
not just medical supplies, just everything in general. It was obviously things weren't being able to get, be imported into California because of the restrictions on.
And the ports were completely
COVID,
overwhelmed.
Yeah. Then there was a strike kind of like right at the same time.
There
these
were
guys
so
were like,
many. It was a perfect storm of problems that we were trying to navigate. And healthcare is about half of our business.
Mm-hmm.
And then retail and retail adjacent, people that sell into retail, is another big portion of what we do. Retail support. So the retailers were getting hammered on every side because one, they couldn't get products. Everybody was having a hard time getting their products into the store for all the reasons you just listed.
Yeah.
But then they were getting hit on the other side where their CapEx plan. So we're going to build X number of stores this year. We're going to renovate. And all of those things are key to the store's success. Well, when you can't get fixtures to put in the store, it's very difficult to sell product because you have nowhere to sit it. So that was another area that we did a lot of work in and continue to do a lot of work in is store fixtures, because that's where the need was. Our retail customers were saying, we can't get these goods. The manufacturers were cutting SKUs. They were just going from taking whatever order for whatever color of fixture. And they were like, nope, we're not doing that anymore. So now we're going to have a much more concise offering so that they didn't have to deal with the, you know, more items equal more problems.
Right.
So they just cut it down. And then they cut down order sizes. They were like, we don't want to sell pallets anymore. You have to buy truckloads of goods. So for us, being able to buy full truckloads for our customers and then parse it out as they need it.
So if somebody, if a company comes to you and says, I'm building X number of stores and I need these supplies, do you, does your company provide any kind of like advisory board to them on like helping them plan, or are you completely relying on them to figure it out and you just take the order and so put in a retainer if they meet or don't meet that expectation?
We will give them as much advice or as much insight as we have to offer that they want to hear. And we'll help them make the best decision that you can make. But ultimately, no one knows what they're going to use like they do or what their demand is going to be. Because for us, demand is all specific to a customer. It doesn't matter what the greater market is doing. If everybody's opening stores, but this one one company is opening more or better at a faster clip, then we have to be able to service that. It just, it's only important to us what matters to them.
Right. So you're providing a personal level of service, which to me is another plug at your company over Amazon. Because obviously Amazon doesn't provide any kind of feedback.
And
if
it's
somebody had a question.
It is our one of our core selling points is that all of our customers have named representation.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a specific account rep that knows everything. They have a specific customer service individual to talk to that backs up their account rep. And then any number of other points, whatever's appropriate, that they can call. I mean, it's a cell phone situation. There are, it's not sending into 800 numbers or
call centers.
That,
so if you want to say your cell phone for the video, then everybody can just call you. Is that the...
It's on my business
card. Is that what
you're
saying? Yeah, yeah.
It's on my business card. So we'd have to have a meeting first.
QR code. Obviously, Insbank puts a lot of attention to detail. One of the ways we do that is within our onboarding process, someone that has a debit card tied to their account will package it in custom boxes that say Insbank Private Client, which your
those
company
boxes.
Provided to us.
So if we get one with a wonky label, is it your cell phone we call to complain? Is that
there won't be any
there
wonky
won't be
labels.
One. That's,
so
that's the
won't
answer.
Be necessary.
Well, it's exactly it's softball
at
question.
The bottom of the screen.
Yeah.
But that's just another way that you've helped us to pay attention to those details because they're so important to us in how we, you know, deliver things to the client. The presentation matters.
It matters.
And they'll remember that. So.
Yeah, and we go into every project, every customer with that in mind, is that the way that packages that leave our building show up in somebody's office are reflective of the company in general. And that's what we try to do is make it look like that.
Right.
Know? Which is why they won an INSBE award. I don't know if a lot of people.
That's right.
May not know. Oh. When was that? It was like 4 years ago.
It was longer than that.
Is it longer?
It's in the lobby.
Is it?
Yeah.
We should have had the trophy.
I would
have
brought it.
Trophy.
I should have brought that.
We should have just set that sucker right here.
We
like you're
put
like
your
this
water
is a talk
it.
Show
you
and you just won your Oscar. You know what I mean? And you're talking about your award winning performance. You know, but yeah, like an INSBE winner here.
I love that trophy. It's been sitting in the office since the day after.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Sorry. That's an acronym we know.
INSBE. So in essence, we give an award to a select few small businesses that have proven growth and have done really well, with their business in a strategic way or whatever. So we're trying to recognize a lot of those businesses. So every year we give, is it 2 to 4, maybe 3. 2 to 4, right in the middle, 3 specifically. So we have, you know, three
you're
companies.
Wrong.
I didn't it's know if there had been years where we had done more than three, but three. Okay, that's what it was. Because during COVID, we compounded it. So we had a double ceremony. That's what threw me off. Mallory making me look bad.
So you were special is what we're saying because...
We were very excited when we got there.
Because it was...
I mean, we had bought the company a few years before and Jenna and I were really like... It took a lot of work.
You really like me.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. No, that's, I mean, yeah, it's like, I even think I saw it on y'all's website. Y'all got it shown on your website, the pictures from the Insby Awards.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Were you at this last year's Insby Awards? Did you see my performance? I don't know. I know it's not about me, but. I won an award for that too, by the way, at our Christmas party. I know, yeah. I'm just saying. Kristen's the only one that hasn't won an award.
Not to diminish the performance. I don't know if I remember it.
This is the only non-award winner for performance related.
This is my award-winning performance.
I know. Right hanging out here. With two award winners. Yeah.
This is my debut. I'm just kidding.
Well, guys, thanks for watching. Brian had a great time. Appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to come join us. And
I appreciate you having me.
I know. Hey, you know, you've got some free bourbon.
We definitely enjoyed talking to you. Thanks for coming
it's
in.
It's been great. So hopefully, mostly we, you know,
ended out the bad stuff.
What bad stuff?
There is no bad stuff. No, this is going to be a solid.
This was perfection. Thanks for watching Brainstorm, everybody. We'll see you next time.